team. You mind to do that, please? They did so well this week, we'll just double their pay. What do you think? I don't know if you know it, but they don't get paid to be up here. They do this all on their own, and their sacrifice and service to us, and so we just recognize and honor it. We're going to pray in just a second. I have somebody that watches on and off, a friend of mine, talked to him yesterday, and typical Christian, he's a mature Christian, so it's not like overwhelmed totally, but has a really good job. That good job is going to be over, and he has the potential for another really good job that he would that he's looking. He said it would be almost like a dream job. I'd really like it, and that's going to come open. How many people know that in the timing of God, that means there will probably be a gap in between, right? And so this one's going to close. That one's going to. So in that in-between time, there is something the Bible calls hope. And the foundation of that word, one of the Old Testament words for hope, is it means to wait upon the Lord. But it's not waiting anxiously. It's waiting in anticipation. Does that make sense? The anxious is, I don't know what's going to happen. Hope says, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God's going to take care of it. So I anticipate how God's going to take care of it. I don't know about you, but that place right there is where I'm still trying to grow up and be like Jesus, is in that thing called patience. I'm learning from Larry. Larry's helping me with my patience. We're getting along with it really, really good. Larry came to me and said, man, I need you to pray for me for patience. I said, you got to go somewhere else, brother, because I don't know about that. Maybe go talk to my wife. She's like really patient, and I can prove it. She lives with me. Okay. No, but I want to pray. I just felt some inspiration from the Lord this morning on this as I was praying in here before service, is that for those in a stage of waiting, that it would be with anticipation, not anxiety. May it just be, may the hope of the Lord so control our emotions that we can see the future that he has more than what can seem like a very secure place. That I hate it to be in a secure place and the secure place changes, because I get lazy in security and I go, that's amazing. Thank you, God. You provide. And then it changes and you go, oh my gosh, this is difficult, right? So in that place, there's a word called hope. That word hope means I am anticipating. Hope, actually, one of the foundation understandings that I've come to learn is I have faith in God's future goodness. God's going to be good in the future. I have faith that he will be. And I was talking to my friend yesterday, and I go, when you ever heard this saying, when one door shuts, what's the other one? Another door opens. They just don't tell you about the long hallway in between, right? And one time I thought the light at the end of the tunnel, I can see the light, and it was a train coming toward me. And then the next time I seen the light, I go, turn that off. I'm flinching on that one. But I just want to pray in the area specifically of I'm in a stage of waiting. May it be anticipation, not anxiety. Does that make sense? Is there anybody that has a yes to that? You just raise your hand and go, I'll take that prayer right there. That one's for me. Okay, good. Yeah, and so my friend, he'll watch, and you guys will pray really hard, or however it is you pray. I found that when I tried to pray really hard, I usually was terrible at it. So I just did the best I can, pray the simple prayer, and let a big God give a good answer, right? Have you ever prayed the wrong thing, God gave the right answer? That's just because he's smart like that, okay? So we're gonna just pray for people that are in the area of waiting and say, Lord, would you give hope? Would you calm anxiety? Would you stir up anticipation? Would you open doors that no one could shut? And would you shut doors that no one could open? Lord, that's our prayer today, and I pray over those that are in a stage of waiting upon you. And Lord, we want to wait in hope according to your word, in anticipation of what you're going to do. We choose to stir up faith. We believe in the future goodness of God. We stand in this place right here, and we look to the future goodness of God. Lord, I pray that in your design, in destiny, in infinite wisdom, that you would shut doors that no one could open, and that you would open doors that no one could shut. I pray the grace of the key of David, according to Isaiah, according to Revelation, that you yourself would open a door. Lord, I pray that you said you would open doors of hope in valleys of Achor, in times of suffering and difficulty. In those positions, you would just open a door. That door would be a vast expanse into the goodness of God, something called hope. And so I pray that over those gathered in this room and over those that will hear, wherever you will send this word, may instant peace accompany the word of the Lord. May peace come. May anxiety be quenched. May anticipation be raised in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pre-preach a point, and then when I get to the point, I'll go, that's where I already pre-preached, and then I'll go through, okay? You're going to turn to Psalm 149. And I was anticipating, did I want to use Psalm 149 or did I want to use Psalm 16? And so Ron read Psalm 16, so I don't have to choose. I got Psalm 149, right? That's a good one. At the beginning of the year, people will decide they're going to read the Bible for a year, okay? And sometimes that'll last till January. My wife did it last year. Was it last year or year before? But she was behind, but she made it up by February or whatever it was. My sister was going to do it. My sister dropped out about, what was it, January 3rd or something like that. But Molly, okay, I think it's a good thing. But let me encourage you. Read Psalms first. Don't start in Genesis. Start in Psalms. Read Psalm 1 through 150. If you will read the Psalms, you will deal with it. You're going to find the scripture deal with everything you will ever deal with in your life. It's dealt with physically and emotionally. The problems of humanity are dealt with in Psalms. They deal with if you want to know how to handle them, read its next door neighbor, Proverbs. Proverbs will tell you how to handle the problem, because David's an artist and his son was a practitioner. And so David, being the artist, he would go, oh, this is a problem. My heart hurts. Help me, God. That's David. And Solomon will go, dig a ditch, make some money, build your house, and invest the money that you make. And he'll give you the wisdom on how to handle what his father will stir your, Psalm will stir your emotion. Proverbs will give insight to your mind, okay? So it is, there's no problem with reading right through Psalms. They're next door to each other. If you find Psalms, just turn right. Proverbs will be right there. And read through them. You could read a proverb a day, and you could read the Proverbs in a month. What I like to do is read five Psalms a day. You read five Psalms a day, you'll read the Psalms in a month. Does that make sense? Okay. Today, I'm going to hit one of those psalms, the Psalm 149. Very particularly, I'm going after something. Here's the decision I want you to make. The decision I want you to make, and you're going to have enemies against this decision, and you can make it here, and by the time you get to the parking lot, or at least by Tuesday, you're going to have all kinds of resistance against the decision that I'm going to encourage you to make today. Here's the decision I'm going to encourage you to make. Three times a day, just worship God. And here's how intense. Because if anybody decided they was going to go to the gym the 1st of January, I used to manage a gym. We loved January. We especially loved February. I'll tell you why we love February. All the people that were going to come in January stopped coming. We didn't have any more work, but we still had their money coming in because we signed them up for 6 months or a year. By February, I'm making free money. It's a good deal, right? Okay. Now, here's a decision, and here's how I try to help. If you're going to change your life, do not try to change your life big. You change your life small. Anybody know what the number one killer? Anybody know what the top five in Africa are? Top five killers, the top five animals in Africa, the big five in Africa. Does anybody know what they are? Huh? In Africa, they call it the leopard. The leopard. I go, we just use two syllables. We call it leopard. Okay? The leopard. You have the lion. Here's the big one you probably didn't know about. Elephant. They don't kill very many people once in a while. People are smart enough to stay away from elephants. The big one is hippopotamus. My friends in Africa, they're scared to death of hippos because they can't see. They're really big and they run fast. And you can't get away from them. They hear it burnt and they run you over, okay? And then there are these things called black mambas. I went to a prayer mount one time and I went out in the mountains to pray. And it's been about 3 or 4 hours. My friend sent some African people there on the edges. They weren't out in the mountain. And I came back and he goes, where did you go? Oh, I went over there to be alone and to pray. And he goes, in Africa, there are snakes. I go, yeah, we got snakes in America too. He goes, no. In Africa, every snake will kill you. You have scared me being over there. So people think about that. You know what the number one killer in Africa is? Mamba, hippopotamus, lion, elephant. The number one killer in Africa is a mosquito. The number one entity that kills people on this planet is mosquitoes. Because you look for the big, and guess what? The little sneaks up and gets you, okay? So if you want to change your life, don't change big, change small. Then when you change small, your life has changed and it's easy to build on the small that's already been changed. Does that make any kind of sense at all? It doesn't have to make sense in your brain. I'm fighting for your life right now. And here's what I want to help you do. It will change your life the rest of your life. Is 3 times a day, worship God. Here's how big I want you to worship. Wow. Just go, wow. Can you help me? Just say it with me. Wow. Okay, now people on this side, say it backwards. And the people on this side, say it backwards. You just said wow 3 times. Do that. Yeah, go ahead and do it 3 times. 3 times a day. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. I read this. It was 20 years ago, and it was something that was just a fleet across your mind. I never even thought about it until I thought about it, and then I could never stop thinking about it. And I was reading some for a sermon, and I was in a scientific journal, and only an ADHD mind can do that, but I was there. And I'm reading it, and this scientist said, he's an astrophysicist, and he came to faith. He's written it in a science journal. He came to faith, and he goes that men's response to God should be, wow, thanks, help. Yeah, astrophysicists, writing for astrophysicists, uses these great theological terms, wow, thanks, help, right? And what he was saying is, when I look at the universe and I understand the magnitude of it, my response is, wow. Okay, and so my encouragement, and here's what I'm fighting for the next hour while I'm preaching here. No, what I'm fighting for is that 3 times a day that you just stop life and go, wow, God, you're amazing. Would you just look at your neighbor and just wow them? Because they're amazing too. I'm about to hit that in just a minute. I'm going to use Psalm 149. Let me give you the outline and then I'll preach into the outline. Okay, I'm going to put the outline at the front of the page, then preach into it. Worship has one purpose. That purpose is to glorify God. Can I say it again? Worship has one purpose. That one purpose is to glorify God. You were built to be a worshiper. The most natural thing you can do, the easiest thing you can do, is worship God because you were created a worshiper. Does that make sense? You don't have to do it long and strong, though I advise you learn how to do it long and strong. Okay? And if you don't know how, just pick up the Psalms, read them out loud to God. It's the greatest form of worship there is just take the Psalms and just read them out loud to God. It's just worship to God, okay? You were created to be a worshiper. All, I'm going to make a statement that I'll clarify in about 15 minutes. All of spiritual worship, of warfare, is about worship. Everything that the world, the flesh, and the devil, those are the tools of spiritual resistance, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Everything that the world and the flesh and the devil do are to stop you from worshiping. All of spiritual warfare is about worship. It is not personal. It's not about you. How many people ever had the devil attack you? You would say, yes, the devil attacked me. Anybody? 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 Huh? Let me tell you, that had nothing to do with you. You go, well, it sure felt personal. I'm telling you. Ask my bank account. It felt personal. Here's what I want you to know. It was not about you. All spiritual warfare has one purpose, and it is to get you to stop worshiping God. Now, here's number three. This is the most important thing you're going to hear this year or in your lifetime. The most powerful form of spiritual warfare is worship. If the enemy is overwhelming you, 80% of the time that overwhelming is in your mind. If your mind is worshiping, it is impossible for your mind to be being overwhelmed and worshiping at the same time. All spiritual warfare is about worship, and the highest form of spiritual warfare is worship. Now, today I'm using a term, I'm going to call it the power of wow. I could call it the power of praise. If you wanted a picture, it's at the end of a song that there's real anointing on, is Melissa does that thing. Come on, you like the thing? Yeah, because Melissa, it's got a name, but I like the thing better, okay? What's it called? Help me with it. Yeah, thing. I've asked her five times. She's told me glissando five times. It never sticks in my mind. But that thing, I know what that thing is, right? Yeah, the whoosh. Larry calls it the whoosh. Anybody ever feel, sense, know, feel the whoosh when she's doing it? I'm going to prove this to you. The devil also feels the whoosh. Now, let me tell you. When she does that, it reminds us of our future. This is what heaven's like. We'll get to heaven. And they'll give her a piano, and she will whoosh, and all of the earth will rejoice. Melissa just whooshed. It's amazing. Yay. You think I'm being crazy? I'll show you in the Bible that is across times and generations that the whoosh does something in the human heart. Okay? It also does something in the heart of God, which is the most important, and it also does something in the kingdom of darkness. Why? The whoosh worship reminds me of my future. And please hear me. It reminds the devil of his past. He was in the midst of the worship of God, was kicked out of it, and can never return. It is a prophetic declaration of his defeat and his demise every time you worship God. You come from a long line of believers that have died at the stake worshiping while they were burning. It was the enemy that incited the burning. The purpose was to get them to stop worshiping, and they would not. The greatest act of defiance against the kingdom of darkness, the kingdoms of this world, the flesh, and the devil, is to worship when it is hard. Worship when you do not understand. Worship when things are going wrong. There will be a day that there will be nothing wrong. Come on. There will be a day there will be no more weakness, no more crying, no more suffering, no more pain, no more death, no more division, no more separation, no more grief, no more distraction, no more busyness, no more guilt, no more unmet expectations. There will be a day, there will be no more devil. No more. That day, that's my friend said, I want the cancer demon. At the end of the day, when God destroys everything, we're on his side. He goes, I want to be the one that punts the cancer demon into the pit of hell forever. And I go, buddy, there are a lot of people going to want that position. He goes, I'm taking it. Huh? Do you believe there will be a day that that will all be over? Today is not that day. I believe that you will worship God unadulterated when there are no problems. I believe that. But I also know that in heaven, you cannot give him something called the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise is an earthbound activity. You cannot do that in heaven. See, here's what I think. I think the highest form of worship is when I stand before. Guys, I'm going to have rhythm and be able to sing on pitch. And my wife goes, oh, blessed be the holy day, right? This is not the only worship team in my life that I have messed up. I want you to know that. My dance and my class, one of my friends one time, she goes, when I'm worshiping and you're worshiping, I just have to enjoy that you're doing it and know that it has nothing to do with this song right here. There will be a day that everything will be good and you will be joined with millions of good. And you'll go, yay, and I'll go, oh my, this is amazing. It's the whoosh on steroids, amazing. At that day, there will be no devil. Where will he be? It's in the Bible. You've read it. Where will he be? The devil's not disappearing, y'all. Where will he be? Where will he be? Somebody help me. I know somebody's read the Bible. It's in the book of Revelation. Huh? Throne, Gehenna, the pit, the serpent, the devil, is thrown into the lake of fire for, when's he getting out? That's your revenge. That's your revenge. You're trying to get your revenge now. Here's what people say. God didn't do what I liked. Life didn't go the way I wanted. I'll get revenge now. I'll change it and make it better. That never works for you. It causes a life that sucks. That's terrible. I'm sorry. It causes a life that's terrible. And you're trying to get better than God because God said, do it this way. And you said, I don't care what you say. I'm doing it this way. It ends up in destruction. That was instituted by the devil. The reason it was instituted was to stop worship. Worship never stops suddenly. It's a slow fade into a sudden fall. It never stops suddenly. It is the enemy pushing you. He only has one agenda. It's simple. Stop you from worshiping. And you only have one job. Guess what it is? Worship from this breath to your last breath. You'll get an A in heaven. Yeah, but it was bad. Okay, worship through it. You're going to live through it anyway. Worship through it. It's a good day. Worship through it. You got a bunch of good days coming. Forever good days. Now look what you do on planet Earth. You'll never do it in heaven. On planet Earth, you're going to worship on bad days. And some days you don't even know what to say. So I'm going to help you today. Just say, wow. It's that simple. It is that simple. Wow. God, you're amazing. Shut your eyes and say it backwards. Wow. God, you're amazing. This is hard. You're amazing. I don't like this. You're amazing. Melissa, shrill something, or whatever that thing is. Do that one. Whoosh. Huh? When you worship, it feels like the devil has his foot on your neck. When you worship, it is the sound of his eternal destruction being pronounced at the present moment. He was in heaven, in the atmosphere, the peace, the dynamic of worship rebelled, was kicked out, and is never going back. It is a reminder to him when you worship that he will spend eternity separate. Anybody mad at death? Anybody ever get mad at death? It's his fault. But there will be a day that it will be gone forever. And when we worship now, you remind him, prove it. You remind him of what's coming. Does that make sense? So you were made to worship. That's point A. Point B is all things, all spiritual warfare is about worship. Point C is the highest form of spiritual warfare is to worship. I could say amen, but I'm not going to, but I could. Okay. You got it? Okay. I'm going to be fun for a minute, then go to the scripture. And in the midst, if your mind goes, I don't understand that, I want you just to go, wow. Is that okay? When your all fuse gets blown, you just go, wow. All right? The chance that you would be on the earth are conservative, 1 in 4 trillion. That you would be on the earth, the odds are 1 in 4 trillion. There's a statistician that started looking at it, and here's one of the things he said. Inside of a female's fallopian tube, there are about 300 million eggs. Inside of that fallopian tube, a male puts in there about 500 million seeds. Let me tell you what happened. There was a day that only one of those eggs could conceive, and one of those sperm entered that egg. Watch, guys. I'm not talking about you coming to birth. I'm talking about that you would just begin to exist. So, here's what scientists have read this all my life. Scientists said there were 1 and 300 million chances that you would exist. Come on. You won the greatest competition that you would ever win. What's your birthday? What's your birthday? Just think about it. That's the day you won the greatest competition you would ever be in the rest of your life. Then I read this other guy, and he goes, well, the problem with that guy is he's not a mathematician. He's a statistician. Statisticians are just low-level mathematicians. I'm a real mathematician. He said 300 million is only the chance that they would be in the same place at the same time. He said, for them actually to come together, that seed and that egg to come together inside the place they were would be one in 40 trillion that the chance would be that God knit you together in your mother's womb. Isn't that supposed to cause a wow? Check this out, man. The guy that was doing the math did not go with the 40 trillion. He went with the 300 million, and he said there's one in 4 trillion is the chance that you would be on the earth. Now, here's what that means. Way back hundreds of generations, there was a somebody that looked at a somebody across the room and winked. And she said, I kind of like you. And he said, I kind of like you. And between them, till today, there are thousands of people that everything had to be just right for you to be here. Your great, 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 great grandpa just walked by the apple stand for me in Kentucky, because our people are all from Kentucky, huh? Walked by an apple stand while she was walking by an orange stand, looked over and go, If he had been 10 seconds earlier or she had been 15 seconds later, you would not be here. The one in 4 trillion, here's what a trillion is. I like money. Put a dollar on top of 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 a dollar, and that stack would go from here to the sun. Make 4 trips from here to the sun. I'm too far in the weeds. Can I just stay in the weeds just for a minute? It would take 44,000 semis that had stacked with $100. It would take 44,000 of them. They would make a line that would be 700 miles long of dollars just for a trillion. That's just for you to be there, to be in the earth. What about for you to be here today? That goes exponential. I heard one guy say, just take one of those off a little bit and you would have to have more zeros than can be comprehended to be the odds for you to be beside. Just, you need to look at the person beside you and go, wow. Huh? And now look at your kids and go, wow. You want your mind to be blown? Huh? You want your mind to be blown? The Bible says, for each person on this planet, God has thought about them as many times as there are grains of sand on the earth. Can you go, wow? And God stepped down in the middle of all of those zeros and chose you to be His forever because He loves you. Oh my goodness. And now here's what He says. You know what kind of response we can give? Come on. Our response to that is, wow, God, you're amazing. Yeah, but you don't know my I stubbed my toe yesterday and I thought the world had come to an end. I had a little project that I entered a realm of frustration. My wife was laughing at me because I generally don't get frustrated. This is really simple. You're going to figure it out. And it's kind of comedic to watch you be frustrated right now. And now let me step back. Because here's what the devil can do. Here's what the devil can do. There is somebody that abused you because they didn't value you like God did. You will take on the abuser's value system of who you are and forget God's value system of who you are. And God goes, I can erase all that with one word. Wow. God, you're amazing. Psalm 149. We got to read a scripture so we can make it real. It's not a real church service without a whoosh and a scripture. I want to read something to you. I want to pick out one. I'd love to pick out 10. I'm going to pick out one today. Look at this. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and sing his praise in the assembly of the saints. What you see, that's corporate worship. It has two parts. Something new and fresh. We need a whoosh and we need an amazing grace. You need something that is foundational, that is forever, and you need a spontaneous inbreaking of God. Okay?
My big Bible keeps going off in the back. But I got a little Bible right here.
Praise the Lord, sing the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. One of the greatest things we can do is worship with our children and our neighbors beside us. And I'll tell you what. Let me stop right there, give you another couple points on the outline because I know I'll just get to the last one. There are five, there's one purpose for praise. There are four secondary purposes. There's just one, and if we just keep the one, that's the important one. That's the only, but there are things that happen when I praise. Four things happen when I praise, though praise is just for God. Does that make sense? Let me tell you, the other thing is, and it's in that verse right there, got a bunch of stuff trying to put my Bible on the floor. That ain't happening. Okay. One is, when I praise, God becomes blessed, and God becomes blessed because I praise. That's weird, but it's in the Bible. Anybody ever had your kid you come home from work, everything's terrible, you come home from work, Daddy, they come running, grab you by the knee and knock you down, and now you're happy. No, it's like what God says is when you stop and wow, in Song of Solomon he calls it the momentary glance. When you just look up and glance at me, here's what he says, it causes my heart to burst in a flame. And so it's not that you gave me a long hour of worship. Your wow touched my heart. That's important. Worship for God. But here's the second thing that happens when we worship, you'll see in this verse, is it changes atmospheres. So you can come in one way, she does the thing, and all of a sudden what happens, it's not because she shrills it, that's not, or does whatever that is, that big G word, that's not it. It's that the Holy Spirit is in the room, he's inspiring her, he's touching you. And what happens is, when I worship, one, God becomes blessed, but a secondary thing is I become blessed. And I can do that to the point that me being blessed is more important than God being blessed. Then I'll try to manipulate it to where everything that happens blesses me, kind of forget God in the... Does that make sense? So one is God gets blessed. Here's a second thing that happens in worship is my own heart gets blessed. I get encouraged. God inhabits the praises of his people. When he inhabits that praise, my heart gets encouraged. Number three, people who hear worship get encouraged. So one, God's heart's encouraged. Two, my heart's encouraged. Three, somebody else's heart's encouraged. Four, atmosphere changes. Five, the enemy is repulsed. When I worship, the enemy is repulsed. Those five things in this passage. We'll go deep another day. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. That one in 4 trillion chance that I'll be there. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Just dance something. Somebody just dance something, right? Let them praise his name. Well, they're praising his name with singing. They're praising his name with dancing. Now look at this, tambourine and lyre. And Sheila said, you try the dancing alone in the back. Don't give Dennis the tambourine. Throw everybody off. Number 4 is the important one. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He said, when we do that, we go, it's simple, it's easy, small people in a small place. And God goes, no, you don't understand. Of the billions that I've known, when you lift your voice to me, it touches my heart. He goes, I take pleasure in that. Here's the end. He adorns the humble with sorrow. Let the godly exalt in glory. Let them sing with joy on their beds. And I never got that one. That's what I'm going to encourage you with, and I'm going to end with an amen. Is, wow, 3 times a day, God, I just worship you. And I got it. From that verse, it goes, let them sing on their beds. And I don't get that. Anybody got an eye? What do you mean you want me to sing on my bed? So I went to the Word, and I went to these Hebrew rabbis, and here's what they said it means. Here's what it means. When you're sick on your bed, worship God anyway. Oh, they go, the meaning is, in times of difficulty, worship God in times of difficulty. Think of it, that's not the only meaning. Here's the meaning. The last thing you do at night, let it be worship to God. The first thing that you do in the morning, let it be worship to God. And these Hebrew guys go, the fullness of your life will be touched if you worship God at the last thing you do at night. Then when you go to sleep, what are you thinking about? Huh? And he goes, then you get up in the morning, you worship God in the morning. Then there's a day you can't work. Something's wrong. Something's bad. You're on your bed. You worship God on your bed. Huh? And then number 4, you're having a good day. I don't have to go to work today. I get a sleep in. On my sleep in day, on my good day, let me worship God. In my mind, here's my amen. I never knew she was going to do the thing today, but wouldn't it be interesting in Dan's house if in the middle of the night, let him sing on the bed. What do you think, Larry? The 3 o'clock in the morning, anxiety wake up, and all of a sudden, if you read that, it says, let him sing. Read it. What's the adverb? Let him sing loudly. Upon their bed. Did you see it? Yeah. Middle of the night. Melissa wakes up nervous. Oh, 3 o'clock, wake up. This is the day. I don't know how Dan's going to handle that. But wow, the last thing. Wow, the first thing. Wow, on the bad day. Wow, on the good. And how about Larry? The drummer. And Holly, the sleeper. 3 o'clock in the morning. Holly, you guys just don't know how much Holly loves her. She loves her sleep so much that she takes naps in the middle of the day. It's just an hors d'oeuvre for the meal at night. Can you imagine in the middle of the night, Holly asleep, all of a sudden Larry comes marching into Zion with his... Let them sing loudly, worship, exalt, lift high. Good day, bad day, first thing, last thing. Jesus, we exalt you. You wow us. You wow us. The numbers just can't define it. This ever-expanding universe that we need telescopes to see the beginning of, you hold in the palm of your hand. We say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Son of man that thou visitest him? But you've come to us in your own Son, died on the cross to end our separation, that we could be with you forever. Our gaskets are blown. We don't get it. Our response is we worship you. We say thank you. Help us. I pray right now, in the beauty of this truth in Scripture, that you would stir our hearts, that you would stir our memories, that you would stir our emotion, to set our attention and our affection toward you. Lord, this moment right now, in the hearing of this people, I stand against every assignment of darkness, of the devil, of his kingdom, that would attempt to draw the mind of the hearer into the identity that he has designed for them. Pray you'd break it in Jesus' mighty name, and that you would lead into the destiny that you have prepared for us. Pray the power of his salvation be the power among us as we come to worship you and to give you glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Molly will be standing down here. Here's what's going to happen. Molly's going to stand down with me. And for a minute, somebody needs prayer, we'll come and get prayer. Then we're going to have Jaden come stand with us. And as we dismiss, you guys come down and congratulate her on baptism last week. Is that okay? Mind to stand together? Let's stand together and we'll worship.